receive it. Go ahead and turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 16. Psalms, chapter 16. Let us bow. Heavenly Father, again we come before your holy throne, thanking you for this day that you blessed us with. Every blessing, Lord, even to be able to walk into this place and be with your people. We thank you, Lord, that we could come together and worship you. And even though we might be few in number, Lord, you know our hearts. And no doubt we pray that you'd help us, that we could truly worship you in spirit and truth. Forgive us in ways we failed you and strengthen us where we're weak. And I pray as we walk away from this place, we can know a little bit more about you and your desire for us in your lives. I pray that you'd help me to get across the message, touch the lost, help them to see a need to trust Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless Mars Hill to stand upon your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalms chapter 16. You know, God deals with hearts. And we call that Holy Spirit conviction, as God would touch a heart and show them that they're lost. And no doubt through His Word and even, you know, the witness of others and even the preached Word, how that someone would hear that. And then the Lord would use that, no doubt, to convict a heart and show them that they're lost. And then, you know, we then trust Jesus. And we say that we are children of God. What an honor and privilege that is tonight to be able to say, I am a child of God. We say that so much, and we hear that statement so much, that really maybe we've allowed it to lose its meaning, its value. But I want you just to absorb that just a moment. If you're saved, you are a child of God. All right, so now that we are saved and we are a child of God, what exactly does that mean? What does it mean to live life as a child of God? You know, there's many people, Brother Calvinist, they get saved and then they just, rather than go and make God's Word precious to them, rather than go and learn of Him, they just start making a lot of assumptions as to what God wants from them. They make a lot of assumptions, and they look around at different people that are saved, maybe in the church, and they say, well, that's what a saved person is supposed to look like. That's what a saved person is supposed to act like. And then, you know, they kind of pattern after other people. And really, they don't ever dig into the wisdom that God has given us and never really search out, what does God want out of me as a child? And you see a lot of people that, you know, they say, well, to be saved, to be a child of God means that I get to go to heaven. I don't have to go to hell. I get to go to heaven. And in exchange for that, I've got to make sacrifices, the sacrifice of living my life as a servant. And so they kind of get in their mind that what I am now is just a servant, and I've got to try real, real hard to be good, and I've got to try real, real hard to be religious, and I've got to try real, real hard and to be at church on time, and you know, all these things, and just kind of, whenever we do that, we just kind of get to a point where we're just going through the motions. And we just kind of, I hate to use the word because I know it rubs us the wrong way, but really a lot of people become hypocrites. A lot of people just become hypocrites. They're saved and yet don't really know what God wants out of them. They just make those assumptions and try to make some religious efforts. And so going to church, Brother Calvin, becomes a sacrifice. It's church day. I got to get up and go to church. I got to drag myself down to the church house. It's a sacrifice. I'm not saying tonight that there's not sacrifices to be made. We are to give ourselves a living sacrifice to God. holy, acceptable, and it is our reasonable service that we do that. But the idea that to be saved means that it's just a sacrifice, it's a grind, it's depressing, it's miserable. That idea is on the hearts and minds of many, many people today. Look, abstaining from sin means that I've got to abstain from fun. And that's kind of the attitude people take. Serving the Lord means that, I've got to sacrifice all pleasures in this life. But the Lord said, He says, all ye who are weak and heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. We look at that is salvation. Those that are burdened down with being lost, if you will come to the Savior, He will save you. And He said, I will give you rest. And the next part is really what I want us to see. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Don't ever forget that part. Learn of me. If you will learn of me, He said, then my burden for you will be light. It's not a grind. It's not something we've got to force ourselves to do. It becomes light when we learn of Him. So for those who are willing to take that yoke and make His Word precious and learn of Him, He shows us the true path of life. There's a lot of people feel like, well, I'm saved now and I kind of know what path God wants me to take. And it's going to be a hard, long road and a grind and just going through the motions and we've got to drag ourselves to do the will of God. No, that's not what God wants out of us. He tells me, Brother Buddy, he says, woe is unto you if you don't preach the gospel. So there's some consequences if I'm not doing the will of God, but at the same time, he said that's not the motive, or it shouldn't be the motive. He says, do it willingly. To learn of Him is to learn to do things willingly and to understand the true path of life. Look at chapter 16, verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. That's a promise from God. He said, He'll show us the path of life. Well, what does that path mean? Is it just a grind all the time? Is it depressing? Is it something that I just got to force myself to do? Just grin and bear it? All right, look, he said, in thy presence is fullness of joy. As we learn of the Lord and we learn of His path and we make Him our pleasure, our joy, he says, you will learn that in my presence is fullness of joy. All right, and then go on a little bit further. It says, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. There are pleasures forevermore. Do you know it's a pleasure to be a child of God? It is a pleasure. It's not something that we just got to grin and bear. It's not something we got to force ourselves to do. As we learn of Him and He shows us His path, we learn that when we're in His presence, that is fullness of joy, and that there in His hand, at His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore for those who are all in. He shows the path of life. For those that are all in, there's fullness of joy in His presence. I think about Jesus and as He's going to be crucified, just before He goes to be crucified or just before He's arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, He has His church together for the last time. His church had been established, and for 3.5 years they had walked with Him, and they were there present with Him, and He could have instructed them with anything. He could have told them how that, you know, they were going to have to just grind through life. He could have told them about how miserable things might be. But instead, he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. What's he saying there? Everything you need, your life is bound up in me. Everything about being a child of God is bound up in Christ Jesus. And he says that if we will abide in Him, again, in Thy presence, if we will abide in Him, he says we will be fruitful. We will produce much fruit. We will be no doubt happy in life. And yet he says, but now if you don't abide in me, if you're not in my presence, if you're not learning of me, he said, you will be like that branch that is broken from the vine and cast aside. That is lifeless. How many Christian people you know today that just simply seem like struggling? Life is miserable. Wondering what's the meaning of life. I think about it, even over in the Psalms where the psalmist asked, he says, you know, that did I cleanse my hands in vain? What was he doing? Brother Jared, he was looking around at the world. He wasn't looking at the Lord. He wasn't looking at His Word. He wasn't basking in the presence of Christ. But rather, he was looking at the world and all the things they were doing. And he says, have I cleansed my hands in vain? Really, what is the value of being saved? There's a lot of Christian people today that are maybe not, at least as far as going to hell or going to heaven, they're wishing that they wasn't saved. But there's a lot of people that are saved wishing they could be just like the rest of the world. And wondering why they can't find any joy in it. What I want to try to preach just a moment tonight is taking pleasure in the Lord. God's people need to understand the difference between obligation and pleasure. Between serving the Lord because we have to and serving the Lord because we want to. There's a big, big difference in that. In serving the Lord because we're scared of what He might do. Serving the Lord because we're scared if we don't, He's going to strike us down. Serving the Lord because we feel like we're obligated to do that. And serving the Lord because that's our pleasure. That's our heart. Again, as the psalmist would say, as the heart, H-A-R-T, deer, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so my soul panteth after you. How many of us could say that's the way we feel tonight? That our heart flutters after the Lord. He's what brings us pleasure. You know, we need to understand the difference between His Word being an offense and His Word being precious. Between, again, serving Him because we have to and serving Him because we want to. Think of what brings you, or at least what you seek after to bring you pleasure right now. What are you really chasing after that you feel like this is what brings me pleasure? Give you some examples. There's some that love golf. Nothing wrong with golf as long as you do it and you clean and do it. You're not out there drunk on the golf course or whatever, you know, just to go out and play the very game of golf. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's some people that they have made that their object of pleasure. That's what's going to bring me happiness. If I can be on the golf course, I will be a happy man. And you see those people chase after that and put all their money into it. And some put hundreds and hundreds, even thousands and thousands of dollars into it. Every moment they have, they want to be there. And what do? Make it their God. And they find out that it'll never bring them happiness, never bring them true joy. There's some that is hunting and fishing. But Calvin, that's where I have to be careful. Because if there's anything outside of the Lord that's attractive to me and what might bring me pleasure, it would be to run hunting and fishing, especially fishing. But you know, I have been in that position where that's all I could focus on. That's all I wanted to do is to go. And I found out that while I was there, it still didn't completely satisfy me. It's like the person chasing after silver. The Lord said, if that becomes your focus and you chase after silver with all your heart, He said, you'll never be satisfied with silver. That goes for anything. Anything that we decide that's going to be my focus, that's what I'm going to put my heart into. If that's, we chase after it with all our heart, we'll find out it's not going to bring us true pleasure. It can be shopping. It can be a number of other things. These people that feel like that, you know, drinking's going to bring them pleasure. And they feel like, if I could just get away and get a beer or some alcohol, that's going to bring me pleasure. They find out it's not going to. And yet there's many people, God's people, that are looking around at the world trying to figure out a path of life. And God said, I'll show you the path of life. And in my presence, that's where you, child of God, is going to find fullness of joy. All right? So pleasure, if we can take pleasure in the Lord and enjoy our hobbies as it would please Him, we don't let it become a god to us. But if the Lord allows us that opportunity, we go out and we enjoy it in the Lord. All of a sudden, the pleasure is found in Him. And it's not found in that list of hobbies or whatever else that we may have, then I'm okay if I can't go play golf, or I'm okay if I can't go fishing. Why? Because my pleasure is not in that, it's in Him. How many of us really take pleasure in His path? And then how many of us serve the Lord really because we just feel obligated to do it? Look over at Psalms 149. Psalms 149. What does the Lord take pleasure in? I mean, what is God doing? What makes Him happy? What makes Him, what does He enjoy? Why He's sitting there, maybe on His throne? What does He enjoy? Bible says, your bodies are the temple of the Lord. He's not just sitting on a throne. What makes Him happy? Does He answer prayer out of obligation, do you think? You think God's ever answered a prayer out of obligation? Oh, where's that Brad? He needs something else. I guess I better go help him. Does He come to my rescue dragging His feet? Simply because, well, that's what I've got to do because I told Him in my word that's what I would do and I'm obligated because of my word. You see the difference there? We know that's not the way God does things. God, He doesn't get tired of me. He doesn't come to my rescue dragging His feet. Look at Psalms 149 and verse 4. For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. How about that? The Lord takes pleasure in me. He takes pleasure in you, child of God. For those that have ever been in love, and I mean truly been in love, and I go back to that time where maybe you, I'm just so in love. Maybe it's time you're dating, or, you know, right before you got married, and I know some's looking forward to that day and all. Whenever it finally approaches. And you remember, or you understand what that's like. How that you take pleasure in that person. It's not just living life and doing things because you're obligated to do it. It's taking pleasure. And it shouldn't ever be that way. You shouldn't ever feel obligated to have to love your wife or your husband or anything else. But sometimes that's where we get to. We get to that point. But whenever you really love one another, You take pleasure in one another. Even the little things, just to get a phone call. You don't want it to end. Maybe nowadays I'm getting old. It's just texting now, right? It's texting. You wait on that text. I don't understand all about that. I still haven't quite grasped all that. Somewhat, I guess I do. The little things, though, the hug or a wink or just the way that each other smile. You take note of those, even those small things, just minute things. Why? Because that's where your pleasure is. That's my love. You know, the Lord scolds a church because they left their first love. He was no longer their pleasure anymore. Remember when you first got saved, how important God was to you? Nobody else like Him. Nobody meant more to you than He does. If we're not careful, we can just ease away from that. You are what He looks forward to. You are His pleasure. He fearfully and wonderfully made you. He takes pleasure in raising you up to maturity. He takes pleasure in you serving Him. The Bible says He won't forget your work and labor of love. He's taking note of every little thing, even your tears. He's keeping them in a bottle. Why? Because He cares about you. You mean something to Him, and He's not just obligated. If you read all of chapter 149, you'll find there that he's talking about those that would praise Him, those that would worship. Look at verse 3. It might scare you a little bit. Let them praise His name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto Him with a timbrel and harp. God wants us to get excited about Him, to worship Him, to praise Him. He says in, again, verse 4, for the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. You take pleasure in Him because He takes pleasure in you. The Lord, listen, He takes pleasure in us taking pleasure in Him. That's a mouthful. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Lord takes pleasure in us taking pleasure in Him. I thought about, I got a nephew that comes to the house sometimes, and he tries real hard to make everybody like him. You ever been around somebody like that? I mean, they just, not necessarily him, but there's others that they just kind of almost go overboard trying to make you like them. You know what I found? God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Those that love life shall lose it, and those that lose life for His sake shall gain it or shall find it. That's exactly backwards in the way we see things. Those that are chasing after life, they're going to end up losing it. But those that will lose their life for His sake will gain it. You know what I found? Instead of trying to spend a lot of time trying to make somebody like you, spend a lot of time trying to show people that you like them. All of a sudden, that changes things. That changes things. That changes the way people view you. You can try real hard, tell everybody how good you are at everything and how you do things great and all this. Or you can turn around and show them how great they are. And all of a sudden, they like you. And that feels good to be liked. And two people benefit in that. The person you showing that you like and yourself included. Because when you put a smile on somebody's face, makes you feel good. All right? There's a lot of people that's trying to make God like them. And working real hard and just trying everything. I want to do this and I want to do that. And what if we show God how much we love Him? Instead of the focus being on us, the focus being on Him. And show Him how much we love Him. How much He brings us pleasure. I want to encourage us all tonight to take pleasure in our God. Desire to hear "well done" when this thing's all been said and done. Have a desire for that. There's too many people that have left that alone. I'm saved now and it really doesn't matter to me anything else. You know, I don't have to be faithful. I don't have to serve the Lord. We're all going to heaven. What if we all desire to hear "well done"? Well done. What if we all desire to make Him our pleasure? Everything, Bible says, everything you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, not unto men. That's including yourself. You do everything you do, do it because you love Him, not because of even yourself. Do it because of Him. We'll ask for a song.